The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and good evening and welcome to your weekly football fix. It's the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek with me, Ollie Slack. We'll be talking lots of football as Cambridge United lost 6-0 to MK Dons yesterday. Yes, an embarrassing loss that was. Tim Armitage joined us in the studio. And we're from Colin Caldwell as well, his post-match reaction as well. Some great quotes in there. New Year's Day didn't really get much better for Cambridge City. They lost 3-1 to top of the league, Peterborough Sports. We'll be hoping to be chatting to expert fan Stephen Warne in the show in order to get his reaction on how City can turn their poor form around. Piston are in FA Vars action this weekend against Leigh Town. We'll be proving a little bit about that game too, and also be speaking to St Neots Town manager Matt Clements after their side lost 1-0 to St Ives on the weekend. A local derby that one, and they sit in the relegation zone currently. They'll be able to get out of it with another match on the weekend. But first we'll be talking Cambridge United as usual, and we've got a bit of breaking news for you that we'll reveal after this. So, yes, before we talk Cambridge United and that embarrassing display that was the 6-0 defeat. Well, I said 2-0. That would have been beautiful. That would 2-0 defeat. The 6-0 loss to MK Dons just on New Year's Day. We'll talk to Tim Armitage about that in just a bit. But there has been some breaking news, Tim. I'll bring him in before we go to the line to speak to St Neots Town manager Matt Clements. And the breaking news is that no new signings, unfortunately, Hughes fan, that Barry Corr, his contract has not been renewed. The club have not renewed his contract. He's spent the last 6 months, or a bit more, with the club, but signed that six-month contract in the summer, and I guess it was just confirming the inevitable, wasn't it, Tim?
Yeah, apparently he's not shocked. I mean, he must have known he was coming if you take a six-month contract on and then make two appearances or something like that in those 6 months, given his history of injuries over previous months as well. Then, you know, I think it was inevitable that happened. The interesting thing is, I know that he was doing some coaching with the youth squad. It doesn't mention anything about that in the press release, so I'm not sure whether it's a full break or not. I guess he's got to go earn some money somewhere else potentially, so yeah. Perhaps he doesn't want to.
Yeah, well, he's 33 currently, so I guess still what he'd probably like to be playing for 2 or 3 years more, probably minimum.
And he can come back when we're playing in the conference next year.
Be perfect, yeah. Just score a couple of goals and get a new contract. But in terms of it says Barry's left some lasting memories for the Amber Army, with whom he remains a firm favourite, and he'll always be welcome back at the club in the future. So that does sort of suggest that it is a clean break and he won't be coaching.
It more shows that we're worried about going down to National League football next year.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about Barry Corr and Cambridge United in just a bit, but I'm delighted to say that St Neots Town manager Matt Clements joins me on the line now to talk about their former history. Thanks for coming on, Matt.
You're welcome, mate. How are you?
Yeah, it's good, thank you. Have a good new year?
Yes, very good, thank you. Not bad at all. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's good, thank you. Let's talk football then, Matt. And firstly, yesterday actually, it was the disappointing loss to local rivals St Ives 1-0. Obviously, the scoreline suggests a tight game. Was it that as well?
Yeah, it was a tight game, and full credit to St Ives. I think it's one of those situations where a lot of our games actually have been quite tight recently, and another one on Saturday, or sorry, New Year's Day. But it was a situation where we were a bit sloppy and naive and gave away a very soft goal, or a soft opportunity for them to score from, shall I say. And then when we had the chance in the final for ourselves to create little bits and get into the box and have our shots and crosses and what have you, we were just a bit lacklustre and maybe a little bit, under the weather a little bit still, and it's quite tough and it's not going our way. So 1-0, it was a tight game. I think we could have maybe scratched a point out of it, but fair credit to St Ives that they took their chances and deserve the 3 points.
Yeah, and I don't want to harp on the goal because obviously Filiani, a young goalkeeper making his way in the leagues in Cambridgeshire, obviously at United, his parent club, but judging by the Twitter feed, it did seem to be a mistake by him, the goal, passing out to, or misplacing his pass out to one of the St Ives players. Obviously a disappointing mistake for him, but I imagine nothing to do with how he's acquitted himself so far with yourselves. I imagine his form before that has been pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't knock any of the lads. I mean, what I say to them personally, sometimes at half-time after the game and in the four walls is different, and depending on how they need motivating or talking to or trying to inspire them when we're in a bit of a bad run, and I include Finn in that. They've all been good and talking about Finn. His trying hard. He's a great keeper. He's a young guy. He's got a big future ahead of him, I believe. He's going to make mistakes. That's what happens at this level. It happens at all levels of football, but especially when you are a young keeper. And I can count probably on one hand where he's actually kind of made mistakes which may have counted towards us being hurt off the back of it. That's including last year as well when he was on loan with us. I'd need your hands and my hands to the saves and the great bits of work he's done for us as well. So he's done some fantastic stuff for us, and he made a great save on Saturday that's gone. So he'll learn from that, but he's part of it. He's collective, and part of his learning is he's with the team. He's with us. We're in a bad situation. We're trying to fight to get out of it. So he's got to recognise that. He's got to kind of make sure that he's as clean as possible and as good as possible, and learn from his mistakes. But I won't knock the kid because he's a talented young man, and like I won't knock any of the players. I see what they're trying to do. None of them are trying to make these mistakes. You know, they're accidents, and sometimes when you are down, they're in that kind of not negative, but that kind of, it feels like everything's going against you. These things are highlighted even more, and especially when it ends up being the only goal of the game, it gets highlighted on him. But there was lots of things prior to that, and as a collective, we win, draw, and lose. So there's no individual blame on him. He was told, you know, there's no doubt about that. He needs to be better and brighter in what he does, but that's because he's a talented young man. He'll learn from it.
Yeah, it sounds spot on to me. Obviously, don't want to harp on his mistakes, especially in such early days in his career. In terms of, obviously, the form, you came on the show before Christmas and beat Redditch 3-1, a big win for yourself. That was obviously followed a week and a bit later by a 6-1 loss to Barwell. Looking back now, was that obviously such a massive game because it put a stop to a real chance of probably gathering momentum prior to Christmas and going on a run?
I think that was probably the run. That was the game. I think, you know, we'd done really well. We'd really scrapped and worked hard, and we looked good. We looked good, and that's what sometimes we haven't done right now. Okay, I don't say forget the losses. The losses are what they are. You can see them in black and white. But we looked good again. We haven't looked good for quite a while, and we've looked a bit disjointed, but we looked good against Redditch. We looked like ourselves, and we got three goals, and that was the kind of team I like to identify about and what have you. And then to go and get hit 6-1, straight after was probably a real big kick in the teeth. I think that's what really hurt us again, because it feels like kind of all you just creeping your head up a little bit, and there's a bit of a few smiles appearing, and then you get a loss, but in that manner, that really hurt us. And I think that's what's kind of happened recently. It's that kind of you get a little bit of a glimpse of light, and then bam, you get a big kick in the teeth. And we've got to learn quickly from it. It was probably the worst case scenario. I'd have taken a draw straight after, it probably would have levelled us out a little bit, but to lose 6-1 in that manner, and again, it was just flattered with mistakes and some naivety and what have you, and we got punished. I think they probably, no disrespect, had probably 6, 7, 8 chances and scored 6. It was one of them ones, and we gifted them 2 or 3, and we had to work really hard to get our one consolation goal. So it was really tough, and that's where we are right now. That's as simple as that. And then since then, it's just been these 1-0 losses. You know, it's just been tight, fine margin games. But we've got to believe in that our Redditch performance, which is the most previous one, a recent one, of where we were good. We can be good. We know we can be good. We've just got to find that formula and get it working very quickly.
And in terms of mistakes, you mentioned there were a few, obviously, that 6-1 loss. And when games are so tight and we are scrapping for points at the bottom there, obviously, you want to eliminate as many mistakes as possible. But how do you do that? Because players are going to make mistakes. They're only human beings. And you know, it's unlikely you can go for a whole season without making any mistakes whatsoever. But when they are quite frequent, is there anything you can do in terms of changing perhaps the style of play to limit mistakes, or is it just purely down to the players when they cross the white line?
It's a combination of everything. It happens in all life and sport and everything. You've seen it at the top professional clubs as well. It's that kind of, not saying of such, but when you're down there, it seems like that the one you have hits the post, or seeing that one the goalie comes to catch, he drops, or you know, the kind of bounce around in the own area and it comes off someone's, you know, knee and goes in. It seems like it goes against you, but it doesn't. You have to make your own luck and you have to be brave. And I think that's what I've said to the boys. We have to be brave. We will try and, for example, go back to basics, brilliant basics. I think it's a matter of doing the simple things in your positions and, you know, big headers, big clearances, big contacts, tight off the ball, all the simple things of football we know and talk about. And we like to, you know, say as pundits and such and what have you. But sometimes when your morale is low, your confidence is low, you don't turn into a bad player overnight. Some of these boys were involved in an FA Cup run not long back and they've been fantastic. And some were with me last year and we had a fantastic year. So they don't turn into bad players overnight. It's confidence and morale. You have to trust in them. You have to keep being brave with them. It's sometimes very easy to just go, oh, just get rid of them, all of them, and bring another lot in and change formation. It doesn't work as much as at our level because you see them twice a week. That's all you've got. So you've got to try and motivate them and give them that belief. So there's little things you will try and do. But on the other hand, I try and keep it, we're trying to keep it, me and Cass especially, simple in what they know, the same formations or similar formations. Try not to play them out of positions too much. Try and give them simple messages. Try and give them the same messages, but keep trying to, you know, hammer it home. Because it's one of those ones where these lads are working really hard. They need a break. They need a bit of luck. But they're going to have to find it themselves. So as much as we will try and tinker little things, but try and keep the message very clear and the same, they've just got to be really brave. They've got to stand up. They've got to kind of work through it and get themselves off the floor. And it will come. It will come. And that's one thing I've always said in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks now, is that even though they might be hearing the same message, I back them and I believe in them. And we all go through tough times. You have to get up. You have to keep going. You have to keep working. And as long as you're honest and as long as you're determined and as long as you're brave, then that can be achieved. And I believe in them. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to keep going. We've got some good players there. When I lift that 12, 13, 14, 15 players in my squad, they're good players. They're very good players. And this isn't a case of having a poor side and underachieving in that manner. These are boys who just had a few knocks, few blows. They're licking the wounds, some of them. They need to stand up and be counted. And my aim and job is to help them do that.
And in terms of this message you are giving to your players in the dressing room, looking at the league table, obviously, you sit second bottom, but, you know, Lowestoft, who are fifth bottom, you've got games in hand on them. Russia Olympic as well, games in hand. Redditch United, who you beat earlier, two games in hand on them. So, you know, the situation, obviously, is bleak in terms of the position in the table, but looking ahead, you've got games in hand. And also, with teams at the bottom as well, as much as the concentration from, I guess, inside St Neots is very fully on St Neots, other teams will be losing games as well. So every week, you'll have opportunities to try and leapfrog other sides around the relegation battle.
That's it. That's definitely it. We know we're in a bottom six. You know, there's no... I'd be lying and fabricating and what have you and probably in cookie land if I started saying we're no. But listen, in this league, if you put four wins together, which anyone can do and teams can do, you never know. But we are where we are. We aren't putting any wins together at the time. We have to keep working hard. But the teams around us aren't, you know, 10, 15 points off. You know, they're within a couple of points here and there. We've got to play some of them. And week in, week out, when... a result hasn't been favourable for us, we look around and actually see they've had the similar results, you know. So it's a case of we've got a mini league down there and we've got to win it. We have got some games in hand and they are coming up. We've got quite a few midweek fixtures in the next January and February. We have to win them or get points from them, or more importantly, not lose them, and stay in that pack and in that cut in distance with all of them. And that's what I believe, you know. I don't look at it as if we're bottom and 15 points adrift, it'd be a different story. You know, we really are in touch with these teams. They're in and around us, Lowestoft, Hitchin, Russell, teams like that. And they're teams that, for example, I believe when we're good, we can compete with and beat. And the main thing to do is to try and look after ourselves, not to worry about them so much. Keep working hard. And, you know, we've got to play some of these teams coming up as well. And they're going to be massive games. They're going to be really important games for us. But we're not going to try and get too far ahead of looking down the line. It's the old cliche of game after game. We've got Royston coming up and then a doubleheader against Leicester. Two teams in the top end doing very well. But you know what? In this league as well, there's some funny results get thrown up. You know, the lower teams do beat the higher teams in the league, and it's possible anyone could beat anyone in this league on their day. We will have that bit of luck. We will have that performance. It will come, and it might just spark us, and hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. And then that will help us build on picking up points and clawing ourselves top of this mini league, which we're currently in that bottom six.
Brilliant, Matt. Thanks for coming on, and hopefully St Neots can pick up a few points. Just one final word from yourself, though, from a slightly different topic, in terms of talking about Jordan Orvo-Williams, obviously a key player for you and your squad this season. We're going to be talking about Cambridge United a bit later, and they're struggling defensively at the minute, especially in the full-back areas. How good do you think Jordan Orvo-Williams has been for you, and how good do you think he can be? Because he's played, obviously, higher up the pitch in terms of the left wing, left midfield position. He also, obviously, plays left-back as well.
I know Jordan very well from last year as well, and this year. There's two aspects on this. Jordan currently at the moment in time is a young man learning his trade, and he's learning it the hard way with us because we're in a difficult situation, which will do him the world of good. He's done well. He needs to ensure that he's better and brighter in everything he does. He needs to make sure he's really kind of learning all the time on the minutes he gets with us and learns from this. But for me personally, he's an athlete. He's got great tools. I rate him very highly. I think he's going to have to really push on and kick on to really kind of to go further. I believe he can do that. And my advice to him and what I see of the boy is that he's got all the tools and attributes. He's got to really put his head down, learn from his situation he's in right now, and get better from it. And then very hopefully, I do mean this, that he could be featuring for Cambridge United at some point soon. But that'll be obviously down to Cambridge United. In the meantime, he's got to keep working on his game And from a defensive aspect, he's been good for us. Attacking-wise, he's been good for us. So as far as I'm concerned, he's got to keep being good for us. And then the rest will be determined by him and, and Cambridge United. But for now, we're very happy with him. And he's just got to keep learning and keep, you know, just get better and better and better and learn the games, which he will do. Because trust me, when you're down at the bottom, it's not going your way. You learn a lot about yourself as a footballer, both mentally and physically. So hopefully that will set me in good stead to maybe return to Cambridge at some point and maybe feature for them.
Brilliant. Let's hope so, especially for Cambridge United's sake and, more importantly, currently for St Neots Town's sake. Thanks for coming on, Matt, and we'll speak to you soon. There'll be some more points to talk about as well.
Sure, Matt. Thanks very much. Take care. Have a nice evening.
Cheers, Matt. Thank you. Thank you. Love Is Like Oxygen there by Sweet, and we're talking Cambridge United now. It isn't really sweet, their victory and their loss. Well, it was sweet for MK Dons, certainly not for Cambridge on New Year's Day. Tim Armitage joins us in the studio from the Terrace City Monitor, our Cambridge United reporter. And Tim, where do you want to start, really? Let's talk about next week's game. Before we talk then about MK, let's quickly just recap on the breaking news. Then Barry Corr, his contract has not been renewed, so his 6-month deal that he signed in the summer has run out, and he will be leaving the U's, especially by the quote down the bottom that says he will always be welcome back at the club, suggesting his coaching role is not going to be continued. So in terms of the striker situation, the U's have two strikers.
No, we don't.
One's 35 and
we've got Aziz and Abiere and no strikers.
Cambridge have two players who play up front.
Yeah.
Yes, your thoughts on that, and obviously, again, we're going to repeat ourselves like a broken record. the need for a striker in January or in the current month is highlighted even more so.
I don't. I have to be very careful here because it's press call day tomorrow. The thing is, I think if you put Aziz in the side till the end of the season, he'll score one goal, possibly, unless we play somebody who's as bad as some of the.
Unless we get reinstated in the Chequered Trade Trophy.
Yesterday, the ball fell for him 3 feet out, effectively an open goal, and he's a centre forward, and he doesn't stick his foot out and put it in the goal until it filters through, and 3 seconds after it lands at his feet, he's poking at it. It's just, you've got to have that instinct. You look at, Lineker was a master of it. You know, he didn't score great goals, but he scored a lot of them because he was the first one with his foot out when that ball came across the pitch. And you can't have. You can't have your main striker not figuring out that you've got to move your foot quicker than that. It was just, there was no instinct there. He may have been an off day, but he has far too many of them. There's a lot of chances, you know, he had other chances that went wide and went high. And he's just, there's no doubt he's not good enough at this level as he is at the moment. Whether he can get better is another matter, but certainly on yesterday's showing, we've confirmed what we always thought, which is he's not really a striker that we want, leading the strike force as a support striker. He might be all right, but not as a main striker.
Yeah, continue to read this statement from Cambridge United on their website about Barry Keogh, and they're talking about when he was awarded different contracts. He provided a similar impact at the start of the current campaign, scoring a stoppage time winner against Notts County in the U's opening home game. That sort of, I know there was obviously the game last season when he scored two goals against Stevenage, and I think that was probably one of his only appearances to back in last season. It's just all reactive, isn't it? Does that sort of indicate, does that foreshadow the whole of Cambridge United's sort of last few seasons? It's been very reactive, and the decisions have been made in terms of giving Joe Dunn the job. It just sort of shows a broader sense of how the club's been run.
The interesting thing is, though, that goal could prove to be the most important goal scored at the club this season if we can keep not scanning the letters. So it might save us from relegation at the end of the season. But yeah, with hindsight, it's always easy to look back and say, was Joe Dunn the right appointment? I don't think he was not the right appointment. I think the way in which it panned out over the summer was what went wrong. And I don't think, Joe wasn't perfect. We didn't like the diamond. It didn't seem to work, but he was very slow to dismiss that. Some of the decisions he made around substitutions, a lot of fans questioned and didn't seem to work. But at the end of the day, the club might say it was agreed that we only wanted one striker, but we didn't have one striker. We should have got a decent striker if that's what we were going to pin our hopes to. So I think he was scapegoated is probably too strong a word for it, but I think he was made to pay for something that wasn't necessarily
push forward
his fault.
To take the flak, perhaps. Right, talking then about yesterday, as much as we don't really want to, but it says yesterday 6-0 defeat to MK Dons. Where does it rank then in some of the dub displays we've seen in the past few seasons? Obviously you've got Luton, the 7-0. I imagine, even though the Guiseley game wasn't a 2-0 scoreline, it was a very disappointing day as well. But where does this one rank?
So I think the difference is that the Luton, you always hate to lose to Luton. You certainly hate to lose 7-0 to Luton. They're a good side. The problem with the Luton game was that heads went down and we just gave them the game. The problem with yesterday's game wasn't that heads went down and we gave them the game. We gave them the game before heads had a chance to go down. 3 goals in the first 12 minutes, 5, 7 and 12 minutes. You can't, to anybody in the league, you can't give them 3 goals in 7 minutes. As I turned around to Joe and said, we've got 77 minutes left to avoid double figures defeat. And after that 13 minutes, genuinely, we wouldn't have been shocked had we lost 10-0 because it was just every time they came forward, they looked like they were going to score. The only thing that saved us in that first half from being 5 down or 6 down was the fact that they started to make mistakes. It was nothing to do with us. They started to make some mistakes and they weren't quite as effective themselves. We didn't stop them. They stopped themselves. And we knew they'd score more goals. It was just a question of when. And again, in the first half, we just weren't there. It was just, they just walked through us.
A worry as well that was potentially our strongest 11 before signings coming in January.
If I was the manager, the thing that would frustrate me most is how do you go from Lincoln to MK Dons in 2 days. Mm. You know, okay, so you've got Amu wasn't there, and that was definitely a loss, but, you know, that's beside the point. How do you go from having a defence that for a large part of the game matched Akinde and others,
Reed, yeah.
And then, you know, just couldn't cope. I mean, okay, that the MK Dons front line scored 30 goals, so, you know, we know they're prolific scorers, but they literally walked through us. We just looked terrible.
So why? Oh, so it's weird, stupid. Because why did Cambridge lose them? Was it because of Coldwood's tactics? And perhaps did they differ slightly from Lincoln, or did just the players really, when they went out on that pitch and crossed the line, they just went up for it? They just didn't perform.
The defence looked incompetent. You can dress it up. Off days, whatever you want to call it, the defence looked incompetent.
But these were individual mistakes, nothing to do with Coldwood, perhaps.
You'll hear in the thing, he kind of accepted the blame for it. I think it was wrong. What can you do if your players forget how to play football suddenly? You know, it wasn't that they were beaten by a side that was so skillful. You know, you put them against, you know, United or Liverpool or City, they'll get beaten because the players against them are so skillful that they make them look stupid. But I'm afraid that's not the case at League Two. They got made look stupid because they couldn't play football yesterday. And I think they may be great players individually and as a team, and they may have just had an off day, but they have far too many of them. That's the problem. And you can't look at the goal difference. You can't, you know, I think it's about minus 28 or something now. You can't continue to do that and stay in the league.
And there was a lot of chatter as well about the fullbacks and also the wide players covering them, or lack of cover they got from the likes of Giovanni Brown and Reggie Lamb. Those were the similar players. Reggie Lamb, Giovanni Brown, David Amu didn't play against MK Dons, but played against Lincoln. They were the same players covering in the Lincoln MK Dons game, but for some reason it didn't seem to work as efficiently. How then?
I mean, it's a mystery, and that's got to be. If I was Calderwood, that'd be my biggest concern. It's not whether I'm going to get some players in January; it's whether I'm going to get 10 players in January or 6 players in January, because literally that team will not be anybody playing like that. And the frustration is, how do you play against Lincoln and hold your own against them for long periods of the game, and then give up the game in 13 minutes at at Milton Keynes and continue to look terrible throughout the game? You know, did we use all our footballing powers on the Lincoln game, and we had nothing left to give? If you put the two teams side by side, you would say they're not the same teams.
Well, they used our third bottom minus 25 goal difference to clarify that stat, and I think we're a bit confusing this studio, really. Who'd take the blame, Coldwood or the players? Let's hear what the man himself had to say then after the MK Dons loss. 6-0 it was, and this is who he thought was the people or the individual that should take the blame.
Well, Colin, not quite sure where to start with that, but safe to say it's an embarrassing day for the club and yourself as a manager.
Well, horrible, horrible situation, and you know, we were out of the game very, very quickly. Which doesn't help, but the manner of the goals, as good an expansive and free-flowing team they are, a lot of the goals have come from terrific crosses, but from crosses. So certainly later on they played a couple through between lines, but the difficulty we found in essence really was defending that. So I mean, that's a start point, but the group effort wasn't enough to cope with it. But I think if you try as hard as you can, then you still need to be a lot more solid in the moments in front of your box, and we weren't. So you know, it was. If anything gives you gives me a summary of the group, it's probably today more than anything else. And you know, it wasn't what we wanted to start the new year with. It was a terrific location to come and play, and we've made a right mess of being a football team.
And the third goal, I thought, especially a bit of dithering with the ball, and you're gifting the ball to three strikers that scored 30 goals between them prior to today as well. It was unavoidable.
Yeah, we obviously became a little bit nervous so we gave that one away. But most of the, even beyond that, we'd still enough people back in the box. and we didn't deal with another cross. So, I mean, that's the essence of the beginning of the game. And the rest of it, in the moments, they'll always be in between us or around us or over us on occasions. And when we really had to compete, we did in bits, but obviously nowhere near enough. So, completely my fault what's happened today. We didn't have the team stoked and ready enough, and we didn't last long enough in the game, which is a horrible thing for a coach and a manager to look at their team and think we were out of it. So, but we still had that. We still should score a goal, and that would give us a little bit of respite and something to cling on to. But in the moments where they've dropped down, we still can do better with the ball, but we've obviously got to defend as a group, as a team, as a back four, way more intelligently, more aggression, more compact, absorb 1v1s, all the things that we need to go to work with. So back to the drawing board, really.
In terms of their wing-backs, caused havoc for a lot of the first half. So in that respect, Colin, do you think it was a mistake to go with a narrow midfield today?
Probably not, because it was enough bodies in the right areas. On the occasions when they play the longer pass and then they drop down into midfield, it just becomes decisions, and we didn't work hard enough in wide areas, defending, helping full-backs. And the wing backs are influential, but a lot of the time they can be inside the field, and it's the centre halves who actually cross for one of the goals, especially. So it's hard to deal with that, and you can do for me you can do with being compact in the middle, but you obviously have to defend the first and second phase of the cross.
And I think what's disappointing probably yourself and a lot of people is it's come off the back today of two decent performances against Crawley and Lincoln.
Yeah, I mean, we probably look as if we're a home team at the minute. We can play with a wee bit of wind in our sails and the fans cheering us a little bit. But we never gave ourselves a chance, obviously. We never started the game or get through a period in the opening of the game to be 3-0 down after 10 minutes. It's a horrible situation for the lads on the pitch, but it becomes obviously my responsibility, and, you know, really ashamed of the result.
Say collectively, just simply not good enough today. I think you'll agree. And I guess from a group perspective, there's not a player there that's assured of their place in the side at the moment.
Well, I think I can be quite obvious. I don't think anyone's really going to have a complaint, you know. But I think we will freshen. We'll take a period of consideration, watch the game again, but. I must admit it would have been hard to leave too many out, and leaving David Amu out was probably the biggest decision that I had to make. But we just didn't get to any level. We couldn't compete, and we didn't compete in that first period. To be 3 down in 10 minutes is it's not attitude. It's just not doing our jobs, and we didn't do our jobs, and we get well and truly punished.
And you said a couple of days ago after the Lincoln game that you probably wouldn't look to make any moves in the transfer market with the window opening today too quickly, but does today change that frame of mind?
I think you've got to be careful that you don't make too many rash decisions off the back of that performance. I've got my thoughts on what we need in the transfer window. Does it change with what I've seen today? Probably not. Maybe a new face will certainly help the dressing room, give us a lift, and someone who comes in fresh, but probably that's what I was meant to do.
And do you expect perhaps one, two faces for the game on Saturday against Stevenage?
I wouldn't have thought so. You know, I can't see... the one that we may have been able to get done has fallen down a little bit. But there's a variety of reasons, so it's one that we might have to revisit, and we were always going to revisit. So if that gets to a situation where we can do it, then they will probably push ahead with that.
And in terms of one player whose contract I think is up now, Barry Corr, what was his situation in terms of, you know, does he have a position at the club in any capacity going forward?
No, I don't think so. I think they've agreed to terminate, or his contract's come to an end. So I spoke with Barry the other day, and he knows he can't He expected the decision that was made, and I don't know exactly when his contract was up, but I know that he's going forward. He probably won't be with us after January. Cambridge 105 Radio.
I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the
Viva La Vida and Coldplay. They're a great track to bring us talking back to Cambridge United. Again, Tim, you heard Colin Coldwood's interview, and also you were there at the time as well. A couple of quotes of interest. He originally started saying the players weren't good enough on the day, I assume he means, despite probably what he feels inside.
I'm not sure that's true.
but then he also then fully took the blame himself and then went on to say he failed to motivate them. What do you make of that?
I, I'm not sure. Did he fail to motivate? Well, they weren't motivated. Did he fail? I mean, if he has to spoon feed them that much, then no, he didn't fail, because you can't do anything with that. I think he just fell on his sword because it was a bad result and he didn't want the players to take all the stick for it, which is entirely what they deserved. We were just talking in the break. The hard truth of what's going on is we're not good enough for League Two football. And you can dress it up, you can say bad day, you can say inconsistency, you can blame it on what you want. But I think we're on the borderline. Talk about Derry's fine lines. It's not the fine line between playoffs and mid-table or mid-table and lower half. It's the fine line between bottom of League Two and also rounds in the conference. That's the truth of where we're at the moment. And we might be able to, with some acquisitions in January, make that better. But the thing that worries me is that it's so widespread that unless someone comes in and not only can play really well but can inspire others to play consistently well, then I don't know whether if we can get a genius striker, we might get away with it, because we do make enough chances that if we've got someone that puts them away, we'll win games even when we concede goals. So we're
talking about, like we just mentioned when we were chatting there off air, we're not good enough as a club, because under Joe Dunn we played well at times, we created chances, and we never started to put the ball in the back of the net. So someone could turn around and say, I turned around many times and said, it doesn't sit well with me to say we're not good enough on the pitch when we are creating so many chances. But if the recruitment hasn't been done properly in the summer, the club as a whole is not good enough.
Yeah, I mean, you can't hide the fact that our acquisitions haven't performed. So, you know, I'm not having to go at people over it. It may be somebody's fault, but I'll just say they haven't performed, and you can't argue with that. You know, you can't argue with the fact that the players don't seem to be able to consistently raise themselves to the level they need to be, motivation-wise, skill-wise, whatever it is. You can't deny that. We're not scoring goals. You can't deny that. We can't defend. None of these things can you say that you don't decide. Whose fault is it? I think it is. It's a lot of people's fault. You're not going to pin the blame on one person. You're going to pin it on the players at times. You're going to pin it on the manager. You're going to pin it on recruitment. You're going to pin it on club structure. I don't know. But it's not one person's fault or two people's fault or even five people's fault. It's the club.
Mm. And in 30 seconds, January, who do we need to sign, if you can sum it up in 30 seconds?
Messi and Ronaldo would be quite good. At least with scores. I don't know. It's a simple answer.
Position-wise, in terms of priorities?
Well, two strikers, a midfielder and a couple of defenders, five players. There you go.
and obviously the main thing as well is make sure that players don't go out the other end and leave as well.
Some of them.
Yeah, okay. And those names are? Obviously, George Morris talked about in the summer potentially leaving and the keys for him not to go, I guess.
Yeah, Paul Davis, Harry Darling, Greg Taylor, but the rest. Giovanni Brown, if he can play in a decent side, but there's a lot there that are just not good enough.
Mm. So key for January then is just to try and get that instant boost and hit the ground running. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. We'll hear more from you on Saturday in the Cambridge Football Show preview. We'll let you go and weep on the way home about Cambridge United's sorry state. It doesn't really get much better for Cambridge City. It's not really a positive show tonight, but Steve Warne joins me for the closing minutes of tonight's show. Thanks for coming on the show, Steve, to talk about City.
That's all right. I was going to say, I can't bring you much
cheering. my starting point was City have only won 10, won, in their last 10 after defeat against League Leaders Peterborough Sports on New Year's Day. Another disappointing day for City, Steve. And I guess people may think not a shock City losing, but obviously they've beaten them early in the season as well. And we know that City are obviously underachieving.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like I said, you know, but I was trying to be positive on the news a day before the game. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, they are a good side, you can see that, and you know, they've done a good job on us, very professional in terms of how they managed the game and just quite clinical, whereas we weren't. I thought we had spells, it wasn't particularly necessarily a 3-1 game, but they were always in control and we were sort of chasing it, but the thing that I cursed it by saying let's not let an early goal in, of course we did, and that really is killing us at the moment. We seem to be doing it every week, and it's so hard whoever you play, and of course against a good team, you know, chasing the game is just really tough, and for me that just has to stop. We're not starting games at all, and that's really our undoing in the last few weeks. But aside from that, you know, look, we've competed, we've had chances. Robbie said, you know, in his post-match, if we'd got it to 3-2, we could have potentially nicked something, because there's a couple of big chances that we've had. So we played okay, but, you know, it's just the defence again, you know, letting us down early on, and then we're chasing the game. But, you know, hopefully that'll be put right. We've got another tough game coming up. And as you say, we are underachieving, so we've got to turn the corner if we're going to have any sort of chance this season. Otherwise, the games will drift away. But still a long way to go, and you know, I'm hopeful we can still turn it around.
Mm. And you mentioned conceding early goals again, obviously 2-0 down in 24 minutes. And unfortunately, we are running a bit out of time, so if you could quickly just sum up, Steve, where does City go from here, really? What needs to change? Is it a change of style to sort of ensure that you don't concede these early goals? Or is Robbie realistically going to do that? Because we know he likes to be on the front foot and take the game to the opposition.
I wouldn't want him to change too much because, you know, that's his philosophy. So I think you're right. I think, you've got to find a balance. But, you know, clearly there's work to be done just to stay in games. I think if you're struggling, the key thing is to become a bit harder to beat. And that's what we've got to look at doing, I think. Because at the moment, it's all too easy sometimes. You know, good teams or indifferent are beating us. So, yeah, we've got to turn the corner of that side. But he's got to keep the faith because I think it's not the right time to panic or anything. The squad is still there. There's one or two additions, I think, coming this week as well. I don't know who they are, but he mentioned in his podcast there might be one or two more. So, you know, hopefully they can come in and add a bit to our team as well. And yeah, we've just got to find a win again from somewhere and then push on and make that consistency that we had. You know, we had a 3-game run. We've got to make that, you know, much longer and more consistent and get results in. But yeah, it's, you know, still a long way to go. Mm. I'm not despondent, but I don't want the season to peter out. So he's got to find a way of winning games, really, ultimately.
Yeah, and you mentioned the new signings there coming in. Jordan Adofin came in on the weekend. Firstly, how did he do? And also, around about 6 or 7 or 8 new players have come in over the last few weeks. It's always going to be tricky to make them to hit the ground running straight away. But I guess with those 6 or 7 players and Jordan coming in as well, they need to try and get, improve results straight away.
I think the new lads that were coming a few weeks ago have done that now. You can see they've started a bit out. I've been quite impressed with Watkins. I like Mikey Davies, actually. Although he was a sub on Saturday, he came on and played well. I think he's a good little player, actually. And he's actually come from below, but doesn't look out of his depth. I think he's quite useful. Seb Simpson's a good left-back. You know, they're good players, actually. Jamie Head's in goals, you know, not been at fault for anything, not done anything daft, so he's not to blame, and he's a good keeper. So, you know, I think they're good players. They have settled in. Jordan, bit of a bounce in the fire for him in his debut. You know, I think he probably gets a good side. The one ball over the top for their first goal, I don't know if it was his fault, but certainly, you know, at 6 foot plus, he's, you know, we've got to deal with the first ball. And that's what he's been brought in to do. So you're right, the new lads are there now. I don't think they've had time to settle in. I think the ones that come in this week, if they do, you know, we'll have to say hit the ground running. So, but it may only be one or two. So it's not going to be wholesale changes like before. It's just going to be slotting in and adding some value to our team, I think.
Mm. And quickly, if you could sum up in around about 30 seconds, Steve, Tame United away this weekend. What are the priorities that need to change in order for City to get another W in the column?
We've got to be very tight because they're good going forward. They've got a couple of good strikers. It's a tricky place to go. They're sort of in the fringes of the playoffs. They'll be tough. Last year was a horrendous day there. We just didn't play at all. So we've got to lay that to bed. I think just tighten up, make ourselves stay in the game early, make ourselves difficult to beat, and then, you know, hit them as the game stretches. I think we can do that. So it's just got to be more focused, keep them at bay for longer periods, and then, you know, hit them with our attacking play, and I think we can do that. So, yeah, got to turn it around. Tricky game, though, but we've got to be mentally right and go with that attitude from the off.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Steve. Let's hope City can pick up some more points and get a couple of wins in the next few weeks.
Thanks, Emily.
Cheers. Thank you, Steve. Cheers. Steve Warne there talking Cambridge City, of course. Under real pressure, Robbie Knight's analyst players. Obviously, results aren't slipping by the wayside at the minute. Only won 1 in 10. That's a not a good return over December and edging into 2019. Didn't get off to the best start, but they take on Tame United on Saturday. We'll be covering that, previewing it, hopefully, Robbie Knight's on the Cambridge Football Show, as we will with Histon's game in the FA Trophy 2. They host Leigh Town on Saturday. A big, big tie for the town of Histon and for the city of Cambridge, or the county of Cambridgeshire, really. Hoping we talk to Lance Keogh, maybe one of the key players as well, Max Yorker, Rob Reddy, our usual player guests on the Cambridge Football Show. I hope to speak to one of them. Big game for them and United as well. Back in action this weekend. It's the local derby at Stevenage at the Abbey Stadium. Of course, Barry Corr, the news this hour just gone that he has left the club. His contract is not going to be renewed. Of course, he scored those two goals against Stevenage last season. What a day that was at the Lamex. But he won't be playing this weekend against Stevenage. But that's it from me today. The Cambridge Football Show returns on Saturday. Just some other sporting shows to tell you about. I recorded or was live with Cambridgeshire's Cricket's Finest in the From the Pavilion New Year's Quiz yesterday. You can download the podcast from our Twitter page at FTP Cricket _105.2. So make sure you do that. Goodbye.